This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the first question I always ask to a guest when we get started with the PowerCast is, are you ready? And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no, or they say yes to be polite. And I have to warn them, I've been doing radio for now, 27, 28 years from the original career to the second one, and I will let you know when I'm ready. In the meantime, our guests Kevin Killen and Randall were discussing their varied musical tastes, and I never heard the word Beatles come up. So, Kevin, what kind of music do you like?
I'm very eclectic, Gene. I can go from 20s blues all the way up to current day and anything in between. Beatles, I love the Beatles. As a matter of fact, I binge listened to Beatles music this morning. You'll be happy to know.
Of course, the Beatles are full-time on Sirius XM. So if you have satellite radio, which is available in Canada, by the way, Randall, Channel 18 is all Beatles all the time. But what's interesting is not because occasionally Paul McCartney or Ringo Starr will drop in. It's that every other artist you can imagine, from Alec Baldwin to people who are not even in show business, will come on there and talk about it. Or Billy Joel will show you the chord structures that the Beatles used. And other drummers especially, because they talk about Ringo. Ringo, by the way, on July 7th, turned 80.
He's like my favorite, I think, now. I mean, I used to really like John because he was kind of philosophical and quiet and intense. He played guitar, and somehow I related to that. But as time wore on and I watched movies like Caveman, I got a whole new appreciation for Ringo. And I just really think he's the best of the Fab Four.
When it comes to acting, he's good. Of course, he did The Magic Christian with Peter Sellers, where he plays this beggar who goes around with the magic Christian, Peter Sellers, to hand out money. And they had a song from a group called Badfinger written by Paul McCartney, "If You Want It, Here It Is, Come and Get It." But the thing is here, he was a real actor with a gift for comedy. He's done voiceovers, and they have now an 80th birthday video on YouTube, which is sponsored by charitable organizations. And you see him singing today and sounding today as he did 20, 30 years ago. You see him in a cottage he lives in with his full drum kit. You've got people singing lyrics to one of Ringo's songs, and everybody's doing this remotely because, of course, you can't get together because of coronavirus. So you have everybody from Elvis Costello to Willie Nelson and Edgar Winter and everybody else singing lines to Ringo's songs. Then you have, of course, pictures of a band he's with, which includes Zach Starkey, his son, who's the Who's drummer. So it's a lot of fun to watch him. Number one, you know he's reading a teleprompter, but he's really good at it. Because, as I said, he's a good actor. I don't know why we're talking about this, because we were going to talk about some really great shows we've had in the last couple of weeks. Because last week we had Dr. Z, who talked about monsters and folklore. And we're talking about a woman here who's probably, 30 years old, if that. We're showing a brilliant young woman who has just a great handle on monsters through history. She's done her research. I just drop in things like John Keel and Men in Black, and she knows. And she was really great from two standpoints. One, that she's just a good guest. Number two, it shows me that young people can provide great perspectives on these fields.
Absolutely. And not just young people, but young, smart people. We're talking about a person with a PhD who is a professor and teaches this in her courses, which is pretty cool. Because her whole perspective is that the history of monsters is the history of human civilization, and that we can learn a lot by studying our mythology. And at the same time, she recognizes that there very well could be an actual objective reality to some of these cases. Like, not all of them, but some of them.
And this is interesting, too, the fact that she's had some ghost-related experiences personally. She's interested in UFOs. She is totally open to lots of possibilities, and her concentration on an academic approach to monsters does not in the least make her a debunker or unable to accept the reality that might exist.
Now, she was just a whole lot of fun to have on, and we're going to be really glad to get her back because we only got through about maybe half of the monsters she was talking about. And her attitude really reminds me of today's guest, Kevin Killen, author of Ghosts and Me, who we've had on after the Paracast twice now. And this is your first appearance on the main show, isn't it, Kevin?
Yes. Yes, it is. So I'm glad to be here. And thank you for having me back on the main show. Looking forward to doing this again with you guys. I always have a good time doing that. And while we're on Dr. Z, I watched a bunch of her videos yesterday, and she's fascinating. Really, really, really knowledgeable lady. So I'd like to talk to her sometime. I bet I'd like to pick her brain.
I did feel old, though, because my son got his degree at ASU, I think, 4 years before she got her bachelor's degree. So that makes her, like I said, around 30 or so, and my son just turned 34 this year. My God, one feels old. But yeah, it's fun to watch her. She's a great performer, has a great presence. And again, she really, really does her research. And Kevin, I'm really glad you did that. That surprised me that a guest will look at what the previous guest did.
Oh, no, she was, like I said, a lot of the videos, like I said, I love the Mothman stuff. I actually had a good friend living out in Clendenin, West Virginia, which is very close to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, or Ohio. And actually, when you go down off of, I want to say 79, you actually pass Flatwoods, West Virginia, and they have what they call the Flatwoods Monster, which is basically kind of like a Bigfoot type thing. And they have a whole like little monument to them out there. So, yeah, I enjoyed that. And like I said, and again, I have to like the academic aspect of her as well. Cause like I said myself, you know, I have 3 degrees also. And, you know, people still wonder, you know, they kind of give you that look sometimes. Oh, you see ghosts, you've heard ghosts. And it's just like, yeah, well, yeah, but still, I'm very knowledgeable. I'm very intelligent. So it was really refreshing to see somebody like that. And the way she approached it, you're right, she had a very good presence. And a lot of the monsters that she was speaking about, I was familiar with and really enjoyed the videos I did watch and can't wait to watch some more.
Of course, he will never use the words, I know words, I know the best words. He will never say those words. He'll never say that sentence. But seriously speaking, we're finding, I think, people who kind of are exposed to paranormal subjects kind of think that people who aren't well-educated or informed see strange things. But you ask people like Dr. Clyde Tombaugh, the late astronomer discovered of what may or may not be planet Pluto or whatever Pluto is now, he saw a UFO. The point is here, it does not depend on your education. It transcends that. But we're going to be talking with Kevin Killen in our next segment. He's been on After the Paracast, and now, of course, we're handing him his diploma because he's graduated to the main show. It's a virtual diploma because, obviously, with the coronavirus, we can't hand him a physical diploma. But I can print one out, I guess, and send him a digital copy. His book is called Ghosts and Me. And we're going to go right back to the beginning briefly for those who haven't heard his appearances on After the Paracast to focus on what brought him from there to here and what about ongoing experiences. That's Kevin Killen. The book is Ghosts and Me. I'm Gene Steinberg. No ghosts here. J. Randall Murphy. Yeah, some stuff going on there. It's kind of strange. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hey, self-reliance gardeners. Now that you've got your crisis garden planted, the next step is to make sure all your vegetables are going to grow like crazy the rest of the summer. For that, you'll need an all-natural, full-spectrum plant food that works to not only maximize nutritional uptake for you and your family, but is also guaranteed to make your fruits and vegetables actually taste better. The name of the product is ProtoGrow, a proprietary blend of bioactive superfoods for plants designed to produce rapid plant growth in record time, so much so that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It does this by combining powerful trace elements and micronutrients from seaweed extracts with a balanced blend of macronutrients from cold water fish. The result? Vegetables grow faster than ever because they now have the essential bioavailable nutrients they need. Go to growlikecrazy.com to learn more. Huge summer discounts now available. growlikecrazy.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, I gather from previous conversations with you, Kevin Killen, you spent a lot of your life dealing with the unknown. Tell me more.
Yeah, basically it's just been, you know, from the age of five up to now, I've had experiences all sorts of experiences ranging from footsteps to doors closing by themselves to electronic voice phenomena captures to a haunted workplace, which is my current workplace now. You know, just basically running the gambit, I think, of paranormal experiences.
Tell us a bit about how you found yourself in the world of the paranormal at the age of five.
Sure. My family was living in a really large house out in Evanston, Illinois at the time. It was one of those, you know, turn of the century, you know, really creepy, rambling looking, you know, really old houses that Chicago and the Chicagoland area tend to have. My father was a journalist, and he took my older brothers with him to cover a basketball tournament in St. Louis this particular night, and it was just me and my mother. And we were sitting downstairs in the off the kitchen, which I guess would have been called the family room back then or whatever, where we were watching TV and eating. Upstairs, I could distinctly hear footsteps walking across the wooden floor, and I turned to my mother and said, "Well, who's that?" Knowing that there's nobody else in the house, and my mother turned to me and said, "That's my little boy." And I looked at her puzzled, thinking, "Well, I'm the only little boy in this house, so who's this?" So she told me later on that she did that because she was afraid somebody broke into the house, and she was scared and didn't want to frighten me any more than I already probably was. And actually, she said I wasn't really frightened. I was just more inquisitive, like, who's walking upstairs kind of thing. So that's kind of how that went. So that was my first experience, and looking back on it now, when I was writing the book, it was just, you know, one of those things where I distinctly remember it like a movie, you know, scene by scene that went there, and I can still hear that in my head. I go right back to that time, even with all the early 70s comforts that we had in the living room at the time, which I had been born in the Philippines, and we had moved from the Philippines to there. So we brought the Filipino furniture, and this is nothing that's, you know, not knocking the Filipinos, but there was some gaudy furniture that my parents had. I remember it was some god-awful pre-IKEA, I'm sure, stuff. But
So you didn't have to actually assemble it yourself?
No, I'm not even sure how it got. I guess they sent it by movers, but I just remember it was like this really weak kind of, I don't know. You know, I tell you what, though, it was sturdy, because with four people, like, you know, me and my brothers who were rambunctious jumping around, that stuff stood this test of time because it was like really hard bamboo or something. We eventually destroyed most of it, I think. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. But, yeah, and that's kind of set the stage for me. You know, I didn't understand at the time what was going on. But as I got older and moved around and we went to Virginia, you know, I got into the paranormal with books. A lot of the books, you know, back in the day from Hans Holzer, all his ghost hunting books, and also the Warrens, whenever they put out a book, I'd read that. So I was turned on to the Amityville Horror at a young age. I probably shouldn't have been. I was turned on to I watched The Exorcist at a young age. I probably shouldn't have. But again, this was back in the day where we were a little more lax with things. And, you know, so that kind of, you know, fostered that love or that light to find out what was going on. And then as I had experiences, I kind of went back and forth to them and just kind of went from there.
Well, okay, so you had brothers and sisters. How do you know it wasn't one of them that was running around and skipped school? Or are you the oldest? Or
no, I'm the baby. I'm the
oldest. Oh, okay. So they would have been older. So
yeah.
How do you know it wasn't one of your brothers that had just, you know, snuck home and went running past the living room or something?
Well, I guess I suppose it may have been, other than the fact that they were in St. Louis at the time. So, maybe, if you think about it that way, maybe one of them teleported and came back. And again, that's a whole nother thing.
Oh, well, that explains it. Yeah. Okay.
As far as I know, all three of them went to St. Louis with my dad, but who knows? Uh-huh. I mean, I don't remember seeing them other than that, but yeah, I don't think they were there.
This is what I really love about your experiences because, you know, our listeners out there, actually, you're going to be in for a real treat here with Kevin because you always get these unexpected sort of answers that are really actually quite interesting. And you've turned out to be one of our more interesting guests, and I'm really glad to have you on the main show today. So you moved to Virginia. And how old were you when you moved to Virginia?
We moved to Virginia when I was, gosh, let me see. They're going to make me do math.
Oh, just about. Approximately is good.
Let's see. Yeah, about 6.5, almost 7 when we came to Virginia.
And so when you moved to Virginia, these experiences continued. So tell us more about what happened there then.
Sure. So as a child, the house that we bought when we came from Chicago, it wasn't that old. It was like in the 40s. I think it was built in the 40s, actually, for most of the people coming back from World War II, from what I understood. It was a very nice community, you know, typical middle class, you know, existence or whatever. So I didn't really have a lot as a child. But, you know, as a kid, that's when I said I really got into the books, and me and my friends would get into the habit of going to the library, and I'd read a book, they'd read a book, we'd exchange it, and then we'd read it and then take it back. And they had some really cool books back then that were not as well known as some of the ones later on. I remember this one book, I cannot remember the author to save my life, and actually I remember my mother commenting on it was really graphic. It was a little book about vampires and different vampires in the world, and it was a color book, and it went on to talk about different vampire types around the world, and they had this one particular one, I believe it was not Romania, but it was somewhere over in Eastern Europe where this ghoul or whatever would come out of the grave and actually bit its hand off or chewed on its hand or whatever until it got out of the coffin to go hunt for victims. And it was a very graphic picture. I remember my mother looking at this and being like, you know, you probably shouldn't be looking at this stuff. You're a little young for it. But my mother was, she was really cool with that though. But I remember her saying that. So again, and you know, and I know, I mentioned this in the book, and again, I'm a staunch believer that if you don't know what you're doing, you shouldn't do this, and that's the Ouija board. And me and one of my friends actually did a Ouija board session probably when I was about 9 or 10. It didn't last very long. To my knowledge, it didn't work because we didn't do it very long, and it just kind of sat there in the dark, and it was like, okay, this isn't working, so let's go play baseball. So I think that's what we did, but. So that's kind of where that started. And then as I got older, and things, you know, into middle school and high school, you know, I was still really into the paranormal, and I had actually read a book by, you know, I butcher this guy's name all the time, Rodive, who was a bird watcher. And I want to say he was in Sweden, I believe, and he was out in the woods, and he ended up capturing, not only bird sounds, but disembodied voices, and he wasn't even trying. And I think if I remember correctly, he was capturing voices like Adolf Hitler and people.
Oh, this is interesting enough to do a break now. Kevin Killen talking to us about his background in looking at the paranormal with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump on Saturday visited Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland. The president wearing a mask as he said he would because he would be unable to social distance from the wounded soldiers that he was meeting. The president also telling Telemundo that he plans to issue an executive order on immigration.
I'm going to do a big executive order. I have the power to do it as president, and I'm going to make DACA a part of it. But we put it in, and we're probably going to then be taking it out. We're working out the legal complexities right now.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott saying a shutdown will occur in Texas if everyone doesn't wear a mask. And in Michigan, if you don't wear a face mask in indoor facilities and some outdoor public spaces, you could be fined $500. You're listening to USA Radio News. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says a second round of stimulus checks should be included in a new coronavirus relief package. Mnuchin also tells CNBC regarding unemployment insurance being extended again, he doesn't want to see folks get more than they would get if they were working.
You can assume that it'll be no more than 100%. So, yes, we want to incent people to go back to work. And even at 100%, if people have jobs, we want them to go back to work. So enhanced unemployment is intended for people who don't have jobs, and particularly industries that are harder to rebound. So we will not be doing it in the same way. And we're in a dramatically different situation. Many businesses are open. Many businesses want to hire more people today.
President Trump is denying a request from Minnesota's governor for money to rebuild parts of Minneapolis that were destroyed during riots and looting following the death of George Floyd. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100 the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
What a way to break. You're talking about somebody here, Kevin, that recorded the voice of Adolf Hitler, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, and so by this time, you've been reading a bunch of different books. You mentioned Hans Holzer earlier, and I mean, his books, they'd hold down a hot air balloon. They weigh so much. They're huge. They're heavy. I mean, you don't want to be backpacking a whole bunch of those around. Now you're talking about this bird-watching guy who was out recording bird sounds and was getting some kind of electro-voice phenomena happening?
Yeah, as I remember, like I said, he captured voices. And again, I don't know if it was ever proven or disproven, but again, at the time, whatever scientist looked at this or analyzed this, apparently some of the voices sounded like Adolf Hitler. Some of them sounded like, I think one may have been Karl Marx. I think another one was identified as, geez, the psychoanalyst.
Young?
The other one. Freud. Thank you. Okay. Got that. Freud was another one. And basically, like I said, just all these weird, these voices that came out of nowhere, and he was actually in the forest out there.
So you're now about, it when you're reading this stuff, are you, like, you're up to, like, what, around 12 or...
Yeah, about 13, and 14, somewhere
still,
around there.
You're still living in Virginia?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is basically, now we're moving on like a decade of being introduced to and exposed to some paranormal ideas and theories. So that's more than a lot of people, even grown up, are exposed to. And you're just barely getting into your teens now. So what other sort of experiences happened to you during this period?
There was a few experiences, but not too many, and some. And one thing you have to understand, I mentioned this in the book, we have a very active house. And by that I meant all my brothers and myself and my parents and everything. There was always people in the house. So it was very rarely that there was ever any peace and quiet, so to speak. It was pretty lively with people a lot of the time. So honestly, if there was anything that really went on, you really didn't know because there was always somebody there or something there. But I had a few experiences, not too many. And this is actually where I tried my first EVP, was at a little cemetery not too far from where I grew up. It was in an old church, an old churchyard that had a little small cemetery out front. And I didn't get anything because at the time I didn't realize that if you put it, it was built really close to a road, and you know, I got more, you know, cars whizzing by than anything. So that kind of failed. And I don't know if anybody, I'm sure you guys probably remember the old handheld Panasonics. That's pretty much what it was. One of those. I mean, it was
a little AM radio kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a little square, little rectangle kind. Where you
kind of like about the size
handle.
Of a Walkman, right, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember those things.
Yeah.
Panasonic.
Yeah, so,
God, that goes way back.
Yeah, so it was one of those, and again, I used to, you know, that was my thing. I used to listen to different tapes back then when we, you know, and again, for some of the younger listeners, we actually had tapes that we had to listen to. We didn't have CDs. So if we wanted music, we went to the store to get tapes, physical tapes. And sometimes, you know, if they got caught in the little thing in the tape recorder, you had to break out the pencil and then rewind them back through that, and hopefully you can salvage them.
You have to be a certain age to remember that, right, Gene?
I will have no comment to make on that.
Well, I mean, okay, so I even remember further back than that with 8-track tapes. I mean, if you think cassettes were bad, at least you could stick a pencil in there and wind them back. 8-tracks were a whole other mysterious thing where the tape goes in and makes this one long, giant loop. And so you could put an 8-track in, and it would just play over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you know what I find fascinating is if you still go to yard sales today, you can still find people selling 8-tracks, even though there's no 8-track players, but they'll sell the tapes.
Well, that's
there's
people that collect, okay, there's people that collect classic cars that have the original 8-track decks in them.
Oh, that's right.
And so, yeah, so, you know, the people who want to keep it all original, they want those in there, and they actually sounded pretty good. I mean, until the tape gets wound up inside, and you have to spend 20 minutes fishing it out, you know, but, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I remember those days.
Yeah, I remember that when it'd speed up and it'd get caught, or you hit the eject button and it wouldn't eject, and then you had to spend, you know, get the butter knife out and try and fish it out. So, oh, yeah, I remember those days.
Well, I mean, in a way, some of the early tech might have been better for capturing some of this stuff. Like, you know, they had Polaroid and film cameras, and they tended not to break down or malfunction like these digital ones. It seems like whenever something comes along, it messes up the digital somehow, and people get nothing or static, or their battery dies. But if back in the old days, if you had just a regular film camera, you wound that around with a little lever, the film moved through, the whole thing was mechanical, and you could always get a picture with them.
Right, and that's actually interesting that you brought that up, because I've actually talked to other people about that, and they've actually talked to me. They actually said, because I have one of the new, well, I guess it's not that new, but it's the current, the digital, I have a digital handheld Sony that I use now, but I used to use the Panasonic handheld with the little mini cassettes, and those were great. And the person I was talking to was a paranormal investigator, and he said, Kevin, honestly, tell me, between your Sony and your Panasonic, which caught better? And I was like, Panasonic. And he was like, exactly. And I told him I threw it in a box somewhere. He said, Kevin, fish that thing out, man, and start using that. You'll probably get better results. And I didn't think about that, but yeah, you're right. A lot of the older technology is a lot better than the newer stuff.
Well, yeah, at least for some of this, you know, capturing the paranormal on tape or on video, because it makes you wonder, like these days, if it's too good, if it looks too good, you're immediately going Photoshop, right?
Right.
you can't really do that with a film camera, not that easily anyway. I mean, I guess Edward Meyer did that. I mean, if you, unless you believe actually that the pictures he took were of real flying saucers and beam ships and everything else, but
right.
These days not very many people do.
Right. You know, that brings to the question. That's actually a really good point that you made, Randall. The Brown Lady of Raynham Hall, which is one of the most famous ghost photos, that was taken, I think, in the 30s. And obviously they had the, you know, that 30s technology. And to me, that's probably one of the best I've ever seen, because you can see right through this thing and see the staircase. And again, back then you didn't have Photoshop. There were ways to doctor things, but I think you'd have to go through a whole thing to actually doctor this up. So in my opinion, that's probably one of the most authentic photos we've ever had.
Interesting. Now, did anyone else in your family experience any of this stuff along with you? Well, I guess your mom did, because she heard the footsteps when you were young. Who else, if anyone?
Well, actually, like I said, my mother, she had more experiences than she let on. I found out later that, for whatever reason, she never wanted to talk about these things. And I know for a fact, or at least I suspect, that she had more knowledge of these things than she let on. I think the one thing she ever did say to me is when we were living in the house in Virginia, she said, you know, when there is a every once in a while where we did have some peace and quiet, she always heard some weird things, some noises, you know, creaking, things like that. And she actually said that she actually heard it sounded like somebody was walking upstairs in the bedroom, which later on I actually had those experiences pretty much nightly with footsteps in that room. But other than that, she never really said much. And again, because I think most of it had to do with the fact that it was kind of like Grand Central Station in my house all the time. And, you know, the spirits were probably doing their thing and you couldn't hear anything because, you know, everything was drowned out by what was going on with the living world. So
Kevin, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed.
I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Kevin, you grew up in an interesting house. I mean, we didn't have lots of people coming to where I live in Brooklyn. And even if we did, I doubt very much that we would have seen anything strange. It was just an old brownstone in Brooklyn, New York. Go on with the experiences, please.
Sure. So, again, there was just, you know, a lot of things going on. And let me preface this by saying that, and I put this in the book, at the time it was pretty painful, but now that I've moved on and things have happened, two of my older brothers were chemically addicted to various substances. They had both alcohol and substance abuse issues. And my mother also did as well. So there was a lot of that. So that their friends would come over, and then they'd have like a big party and this and that and all that time. So again, through most of high school, that's usually what was going on, is that there were always somebody there. And I put this in the house because I had a good friend of mine where just to get out of the house, you know, I wasn't into that at the time. And being an introvert, I'm very introverted still. At the time, that a lot of noise and people bothered me, and I realize now that I didn't know that back then, but that's part of being an empath, is that I don't like a lot of people around. So what I would do is I had a couple close friends. I'd go hang out with them, and we'd stay up all night and just, you know, watch TV and chill and talk and this and that. So I'd end up coming home, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning when everybody cleared out or calmed down. And I just remember a lot of the times it was a very sad house. Feeling very like the house was sad, like getting a sad feeling. And again, not knowing where that came from, but understanding that because of everything that went on, I think that was part of it. And I think that lent itself to what was going on in the house at the time. And also, I had gotten into some occult type material that I should not have been messing with. And that probably had something to do with some experiences that I had there as well.
Well, tell us a bit about some of those.
Sure. So, right before I graduated high school, this would have been late 80s, early 90s, I discovered Aleister Crowley. And I used to go to, you know, back then they used to have a ton of different bookstores that you could go, and I used to frequent bookstores all the time. I've always been an avid reader, so you know I'd frequent the occult area and everything. Well, I stumbled upon Aleister Crowley, and one of his books, and I think actually, you know, Anton LaVey. I think I bought the Satanic Bible for what? I have no idea. But again, when you're a teenager, you're curious, this and that. So I got into that a little bit and was just kind of like, wow, what's going on with these people? And then, you know, I saw that they were conjuring and all that, and I was like, that's kind of neat, you know, although it doesn't look like that's good. And also another person I was really into at the time was I can't remember. He was a fiction writer. Can't think of his name, but he was a cult writer. And Edgar Allan Poe has always been a hero. I've always loved Edgar Allan Poe. So I was reading a lot of Poe at the time. Bram Stoker, of course, Dracula, you know, reading a lot of the Victorian age novels that were very dark and gothic and things like that. So I had a lot of that going on. And so, you know, I would do certain things, and this is about the time, and again, this is talking about the musical aspect of things, and I, again, this is probably just because I was a teen and I didn't know any better. I started listening to death metal. Now, I don't know
if you're death metal, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys are familiar with... Oh, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, but it sounded cool and neat because I was like 18, 17. Sure. You know, Cannibal Corpse was a fave. I don't know why, but... So, you know, I would sit there and I would hit, you know, I'd play Cannibal Corpse and I would just kind of like sit there. I'd light a candle in the dark and just kind of sit there. I wouldn't do anything. It was just kind of, you know, I don't know, just, I guess, you know, in today's language, they probably would have been, you know, worried about, oh, well, you know, he's depressed and I didn't wear the black. I didn't do all that. But again, I just attributed it to being, you know, a little eccentric or whatever. So I started doing a lot of that. And I noticed when I was sleeping in my room at the time was my parents' master bedroom. And what it was is my father moved to Japan to work in the late 80s. And my mother didn't like being in that room by herself. So she stayed downstairs and I took over essentially the master bedroom. Well, the master bedroom had, you know, a pretty good sized bed towards the one wall. And then you had the door leading into the hallway. Well, and it was long way. The bed was long way. So it went from like wall to wall, like the side of the bed was facing the door. So you had like maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet from the bed to the door. And it was all wood. So every night I would hear footsteps, like somebody literally walking in my room, like walking in circles or walking up to the bed and then walking away. Well, I was so scared that if I had my back to them, that I wasn't going to turn over and say, oh my God, because I've seen enough horror movies to know I don't know what I'm going to be looking at. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to do this. But this was almost like a nightly occurrence. These footsteps would do this nightly. And, you know, and again, I never had any answer. And also we had a really creepy, there was a crawl space in that room. And if anybody's ever been in a crawl spaces, yeah, they're creepy anyway.
But I've got a crawl space in my basement where I used to do a lot of my late night work so I wouldn't disturb anyone else in the house. So I would go down there and I had a little office set up in the part that wasn't the crawl space, the normal part, but you could see off into the shadows. And when it's 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, I'd be listening to the paranormal radio shows and working on my UFO and other stuff. And you could look off into that crawl space. And there was one night where there was a guest on one of these shows and they were talking about how they were looking into some crawl space just like that. And they could see these glowing red eyes looking out. Okay. So I know the feeling.
Yeah. And this was one of those weirder ones because basically it was, you know, the way the house was, you know, shaped, this was the crawl space and they had the slanted roof. So it was like right there. And we use that for storage for like pictures and just junk and everything. But again, you know, any crawl space at any time, I think is pretty creepy, whether it's a basement or a upstairs bedroom. These footsteps happened like almost nightly, pretty much.
Well, for how long? Like, were other people in the house hearing these as well? Or, like, what was going on?
My mother would hear these.
Okay.
You know, that's one thing that she told me. She said, you know, when nobody was here, she would hear, like, somebody was walking up in my room. But again, my house was really loud all the time because, again, with all the foot traffic and everything and music. And one of my brothers that, and again, I just want to throw this out there because I'm dealing with this now, that was in that situation where he was addicted. He just passed 2 weeks ago.
Oh, condolences.
So
I'm sorry to hear
you.
That.
Thank you.
That's rough. So, I've lost a brother too, and it's one of the hardest things ever. So
yeah, and I wasn't close to him. We were actually estranged, but I've been named his executor because there's nobody else in the area, so I'm handling all of his affairs on top of everything else.
Oh,
but
wow.
the reason I bring that up also is because I have talked to so many people that were friends of his that during this you know, taking care of his stuff, that have come to me and didn't know anything about me and said, hey, you know, we still feel him around here. And then I tell them, I said, oh, well, you don't know who I am, do you? And then I tell them and I show them the book or whatever, and we start talking about the paranormal. And I was just amazed at how many people say, yeah, he's still here. I said, I know he's still here. I feel him. He's with me. I know that. Then I tell them who I am, show them the book and everything. And they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. So then they start talking. And it's kind of interesting because, like I said, that's one reason I really brought that up, is just to say that, you know, without even knowing who I was or what I do, people were starting to say, yeah, we feel him around here and his presence is here and this and that. And, of course, I know that, but they didn't. So it's kind of a comfort to them, I think, to know that, yeah, he is here. You know, he is, well, his essence is still around.
There's that sort of an empathic thing with people. People do have I guess it's a kind of a psychic ability or a sixth sense. And it seems like we can talk about, say, a sixth sense or a bit of a premonition or a feeling.
I have a premonition right now, Randall, that there's going to be a break. I can just sense it. With Kevin, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.